In a region of Africa plagued by war, persecution, corruption, famine, and disease, how would a small group of believers even begin to reach the utmost parts of the world with the gospel? Well, pull up a chair. Let's hear their stories.
Tell me the history of Nice.
Northeast Africa.
How did you guys get here? Why are you here?
All about Christ.
What's the origin story?
It is not now about denomination. It's all about Christ. All about Christ. All about.
We did not run from the war. We were called by God.
Northeast Africa Theological Seminary.
Better known as NEETS, is Empower One's indigenous church planting Bible school. It was established in 2006 when 17 students gathered under three trees in South Sudan. Their objective? To plant churches among the difficult and unreached parts of Africa.
God has put his word in my heart.
Today, Empower One is unwavering in its calling to spread the good news of Christ among those who have never heard.
We've done compromise.
These are the stories of NEETS. These are some of the men and women who God is using to carry out his story of redemption in a dark and broken world.
The broken heart is now God.
In this episode, you will hear part two of Peter's story. Peter is a NEETS graduate and Empower One's church planter in the Nuba Mountains of Sudan. The first church he planted was with only two other believers, where the only church building was padlocked and used as a storage unit. This would be the first in a series of churches planted throughout the area.
Since I gave life to Christ, I did not experience any fear.
Welcome to Storylines. Okay, so at this point, it's 2020. If you missed part one of Peter's story, you might want to go back and give that a listen. Peter shared briefly about his childhood growing up in the Nuba Mountains, how he fled to the refugee camps and eventually came to faith in those refugee camps, and then what it was like going to NEETS and then graduating NEETS and beginning to plant churches in a Muslim context. So if you haven't listened to part one, you might pause here, go back and give that a listen, and circle back with us later. The pandemic's going on. You've been commissioned back to the Nuba Mountains to begin the flagship church ministry work. What is ministry like in the Nuba Mountains? So it's not Sharia law. You're getting favor from the government. They're protecting you. They're asking you to come preach the gospel, even though they're Muslims. Can you tell us what are some of the challenges you've seen in doing ministry in the Nuba Mountains? How is God moving in the hearts of people? Are people coming to faith? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. In Nuba Mountains, in eastern part of Nuba Mountain, majority are Christians. And the ministry are going well. There's no much challenges. But in western part of Nuba, where I am a missionary, that side, most majority Muslims. Mm-hmm. And when I reach on grounds, the first will come me, and the first day they ask me, the leaders, they ask me, are you Christians or are you Muslims? And I said, I'm a Muslim. Now I'm a Christian.
Okay.
I left Islam.
Okay.
So what have you come to do? Then I told him, I've come to preach the word of God.
You told that to the Muslims?
Yeah, I told it to the Muslims.
Okay. All right.
They kept quiet. They did not again ask me anything. Immediately, the following week, I went to visit some of the old church which I knew. Mm-hmm. It was only one person who had been there when I was a childhood.
Okay.
And that pastor passed away.
Okay.
When I reached that church, and I found the family of the pastor, two of them, they are Christians.
Okay.
And some of them they are Muslims. Because of influence of the Christian of the community, this one, all of them, they don't want to follow the father.
Okay.
But two decided to follow the father.
Alright.
We began praying in that old church.
Okay.
Three of us. While praying, three of us, we have to share with some of the community around.
Mm-hmm. Like as in doing outreach, like evangelism?
Doing the outreach. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm introducing myself that I'm a Christian now. Okay. And I want you to know the word of God.
Yeah. So you get back, there's one church building that
yes.
hasn't been used in years.
Exactly. That will be so for many years.
So you found the family, you found the two people who were Christians.
Yes.
And you said, we're going to begin meeting in this church.
Yeah. Okay. Even these two people, they are not allowed even to go to the church. They have been fearing.
Okay.
The church is locked.
Okay.
And ask you where is the key, and they told me the key is with the imam, sheikh.
Okay.
And they use the church as a store.
My storage unit, just to
yes,
put things.
Yes, they put anything there okay. inside.
All right.
Then I went and I requested the key from the sheikh.
Okay.
And he asked me, why are you want this key? Mm-hmm. I said, no, I want to go and pray. He's like, no, I said, no, I have freedom of religion. Please.
I want to pause and make sure we understand the context here. From 1991 to 2019, Sharia law was the comprehensive state law in Sudan. It was only lifted 1 year before Peter's return to Sudan when Omar al-Bashir was ousted in a coup conducted by the military. In 2020, Sudan was ruled by a transitional government made up of military leaders and civilians that declared freedom of religion throughout Sudan. Yes, technically, Christianity was legal, but many people in rural areas weren't ready or able to undo the only worldview that they've ever known. Leaving Islam was still dangerous. Here's an example. I talked with a student at NEETS from Sudan. He told me that where he lives, a father will not be prosecuted for killing a son that leaves Islam to follow Christ. My point is this. Peter demanding a Muslim leader to give him the key to a dormant church building in order to revitalize it in an area still trying to wrap their heads around a world that's not governed by Sharia law is one of the many bold actions that Peter will display.
He gave me he cannot even again talk to me too much. He gave me the key.
Okay.
I went and talked to these boys. I told them, okay, on Sunday we will come and pray here. So we begin now coming to the church. We come to the church. Then for the first week, I shared with one of our friends, the neighbor to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gave life to Christ.
Okay. Wow.
When he gave the life to Christ, after 1 week, I sent it to school.
To school
in Ida.
Okay.
He spent 1 month in a theology school. He went back.
In Yida, in Northern, not NEETS, but a different theology school.
In different theology.
Okay.
He went back. He joined us. We became four.
Great.
When we became four, his son also joined the church.
Okay. Now five?
We become now five.
Wow.
So we have to move evangelism door to door.
Yeah.
Door to door. And I went to the school, secondary schools.
The secondary schools?
Secondary schools.
Yeah, we call those high schools in the U.S.
Okay. Yes, to help them, to help the teachers, to encourage them.
Okay.
With the word of God.
Okay.
And they gave me a chance of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then they told me that I should teach CRE.
What's CRE?
CRE, Christian Religion Education.
Christian Education.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so just 1 second. So you go to a Muslim town.
Yes.
There's no churches.
There's no churches.
And you say, I'm going to start a church.
Yes.
And then you immediately begin to evangelize.
Exactly.
Are you not afraid at all? Are you not afraid of persecution? What are your thoughts and emotions? How do you feel?
You know, since I gave life to Christ,
mm-hmm.
I did not experience any fear, even at all, even like a small drop.
Okay.
I did not experience that.
Is that because of that Psalm 118? If God is with me, who can be against me? Is that like deeply seated
yes.
in your heart?
And this is another thing is because of this is my personal decision. It is not somebody who deceived me.
Okay.
Or it's not somebody who gave me gift so that I can leave Islam. It is my personal gift.
Okay.
That I decided.
Okay. Yeah, God came to you, revealed himself to
yes,
you.
Yes, somebody called me.
Yeah, God, Jesus himself called you.
Yes, somebody called me. It is not just because somebody. No.
Okay.
It is my decision.
There are accounts in Africa where Islamic leaders will pay people to convert to Islam, like through cars and land and money and things of that sort. Maybe it's like a prosperity gospel version of Islam. But Peter's saying here clearly that he did not come to Christ for any earthly gain. He came to Christ because Christ revealed himself to him and he wants to follow him.
All right. So I interrupted your story. Now you're at five.
Yes.
Okay. So now
we become five.
Yeah.
Then I told him, let's go and move around to the village to preach.
Uh-huh.
While you are preaching, one of a guy called, he came to me. When we're discussing, he's like, why are Muslims doing this? Why are Muslim organizations doing this? Killing people, supporting, fighting and all that.
Mm-hmm.
We share all about it. And again, we share about the gospel.
Okay.
The Sunday we came and prayed prayed in a church, he came to me. I wanted to be with you.
Mm. He wants to be a Christian?
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted to be a Christian. I tell him, okay, I'm going to mentor you.
All right.
And I begin preaching to this guy.
Yeah, discipling him.
Discipling him.
Yeah.
When I disciple him, for 2 weeks to 3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay.
He said he now gave life to Christ.
Wow. Wow. So he comes to you, he's curious.
Yes.
And so you sit down with scripture.
Exactly.
And you walk him through scripture.
Exactly.
And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He reads the word of God and becomes a Christian.
Exactly.
Okay.
And he told me that even I have a friend who's a Muslim, but this guy even he doesn't want Islam.
Okay.
Can you go and preach to him?
Wow.
And then we decided the day we went to his home,
mm-hmm.
and he called the guy. We shared with him, and we showed the Jesus film.
Mm-hmm.
There is a small Jesus film.
If you're not familiar with the Jesus film, it was created in 1979 by an organization called Crew. It's a movie that portrays the book of Luke. It's been recorded in over 2,000 languages and is a powerful tool in many areas with high illiteracy rates. Empower One has used the Jesus film for years. We've equipped two trained leaders with a motorbike and a backpack containing the Jesus film, a solar-powered projector, a screen, and a sound system. They go into areas where the gospel hasn't yet reached, where many people can't read and very few have ever seen a movie. The people watching are captivated by the gospel. They are enraged when they see Jesus publicly crucified and overwhelmed when they see him rise from the dead. God has used the Jesus film to reach millions of people with the gospel.
We show inside the room,
mm-hmm.
together, mm-hmm. and even the family. He has a wife plus two children. So when they saw the Jesus film, we translated to them, what does this one mean, and what are these doing, all that, the wife said, from today, I will be following Christ.
Mm-hmm. Did the husband as well?
To the husband.
Had the husband and said he's going to follow Christ?
Yes.
Okay.
And the husband's like, no, I fear your family. Your family are very hard.
Mm.
They're going to cause you problems.
Strong Muslims.
Yes.
Okay.
But the wife's like, no,
wow.
I don't care. Now the family become the body of Christ.
Okay.
And that guy also, when we came and we gave him that courage, he also became very strong.
Okay.
Again, that one told me that there is a guy there who love to hear the word of God.
Okay. The husband who was reluctant.
No,
to
not the husband. There's someone else. Okay. Whose husband said that he has a friend.
Okay. So the husband said, "Hey, we need to go talk to this man.
You need to go check this man."
He said, "Let's go talk to my friend who needs to know about Jesus."
Exactly.
Okay.
And then I told him, "Okay, we will do this one next week."
Okay.
The next week we came. They gathered all of them. Even that guy has a family. Mm-hmm. We gather with them together as a family. We preach to them all.
Yeah.
And three of them are saying, go safe.
They got saved.
They go safe.
Wow.
And all this is a Muslim's backgrounds.
Okay. So your church is filling quickly.
Yeah. We begin now encouraging them because they have been far. They are far from the church. They cannot come to the church.
Okay.
But every week we come to them, mm-hmm. to their home. Mm-hmm. We share with them. We pray with them,
mm-hmm.
until we came and baptized them. Now they're in church.
Wow.
They have a church, home church. And sometimes when you get time, they do come and join the church because wow. the church is a bit far.
Okay.
But there is an old church near them. Then I send them to go and pray in that church.
Okay. Was anybody meeting in that church?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm the one taking that church.
So this is your second church?
Yeah, this is the second church.
So you planted two churches in how long? What's the time period?
2 months, I think.
2 months?
Yeah.
Okay.
2 months, we have two churches. So from there, we made a group of youth moving home to home. Every Sunday, we go after prayers, we go and have some worship prayers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
While doing that, Muslim youth come and join us.
Okay.
Because I have a fufa.
You have a what?
Fufa.
A fufa?
Yes.
What's that?
This is a sound system.
Okay, a sound system. Like
sound
loud
system.
Speakers.
Yes.
Okay.
When you come to my home, I have to put on
okay.
music.
Okay.
And then Muslims come.
Okay.
When they come and gather, we tell them we are Christians, we have this and this, we want to do it. Do you have any problem? They say, no problem, we will stay and hear.
Okay.
Now they begin staying with us, sharing with us, and they're coming.
Yeah.
So every week.
You use the speakers to play loud music.
Yes, yes.
It draws people in.
They draw people.
And then you share the gospel.
Then we share the gospel.
Okay.
So after that, we again, I did what is called training.
Mm-hmm.
I went and I gave out the letters to the leaders, to the government, to the civilians, to the police, that I want to do some training concerning church.
Okay.
Yes. When they came, they came number, great number, like 50 people.
Wow.
Then I have to teach them about what Jesus wants us to do as a Christians
so
in the church.
You told people you're going to have a Christian training.
Yes, Christian training.
And sent out papers.
And I sent out papers.
And 50 people showed up. Okay.
Even plus leaders.
Even some of the community leaders.
Some of the community leaders.
Were they curious or did they feel threatened by Christianity?
No. They're really coming to so that you can help, you can whatever, support the Christians, to support the activity that is going on.
Okay.
So when they came, I also gave them chance to say anything about what is going on. So when I gave them the chance, they encouraged Muslims for freedom. If you want to join church, you can go. Never be afraid to anyone.
That's what these leaders are saying.
Yes, we as a government, okay, we protect. We protect Christians, we protect Muslims,
wow,
we protect anyone, but we don't want someone to cause problem. Mm-hmm. If you want to join, join. If you don't want, keep it yourself.
For the record, this is not normal behavior for a Muslim community to be so accepting of Christian ministry in their community, but we have seen it before. If you haven't listened to part one of Peter's story, he shares how some government officials, although not Christian, actually defended his ministry in Sudan because they recognize that it's the Western countries, the ones the locals largely categorize as Christian, are the ones providing humanitarian aid to the Sudanese people. Because of this aid, Empower One has numerous reports of Islamic leaders defending our pastors who are preaching and serving the community at large. One particular example happened when Empower One partnered with Send Relief. Send Relief equipped our leaders on the ground with food, blankets, and mosquito nets and things of that sort to give to the Sudanese refugees who were fleeing the civil war. Empower One's pastors asked the mosque leaders in their local town if they could give out these materials to the refugees. This simple act of Christ-like love resulted in the opportunity to preach the gospel in the local mosque. That's right, John Monchol, Empower One's leader in the Upper Nile, was invited to preach Christ in a mosque filled with Sudanese Muslims who, statistically speaking, had never heard the gospel. One particular man who, after accepting Christ, later exclaimed that evening, "I lost everything, but I found God."
Then from there, immediately we planted a church there.
Church number three.
Number three.
Wow. Okay.
That is, we became 15.
Okay.
15 in that place.
15 people immediately.
Immediately.
So you have a church of 15 on your third church.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we came and we always preached there under the tree. And then the government came and to tell us that, why can't you get a place?
Mm-hmm.
Then we look at the place. It's not there.
Okay.
Then I went to the leaders.
They're asking, why can't you meet in a building? Why are you meeting under a tree?
Yes.
Okay.
Then I showed them there's no any building. Of course, there's no any buildings.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be under a tree for so long, almost for 3 months or 4 months. Then I have to talk to the leaders. I told them that, please, you can give us a place for the church. Somebody said to me, we can give you somewhere there. And the leader said, no, we should not give them very far. We give them near.
Oh, wow.
Then they took me. I saw the place and it's like, okay, if this one is okay, you can begin your church here.
Uh-huh.
And we name it Peace Baptist Church.
Peace Baptist Church.
Yes.
Great.
That's where we are. We are now worshiping. So in my home, every day, there is people coming, asking for Jesus film for them to go and watch,
mm-hmm,
Muslims, mm-hmm, and asking for audio proclaimers.
So audio proclaimers, so audio Bibles.
Audio Bibles.
Okay.
Yes. And I had some of them from our partner,
mm-hmm,
called Jinak.
Okay.
Yeah. Jinak, okay. Yeah. I had it and I have to disobey to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed them how to use it. And this is really worked effectively for us on preaching people with the gospel.
Good.
Because most of them, they don't know how to read.
Right. Okay.
All right. Yeah. But they can listen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really wonderful to me. Whenever I move, I go inside, I carry it with my bag. Because everywhere, people are asking about it. In the market, at the roadside, I need the small phone. Okay. They say that the phone. But which is phone? It's like the phone that speaks about Christ, about Jesus in Arabic.
Yeah.
Peter makes reference to an audio Bible here called a proclaimer. It's made by one of our ministry partners, Faith Comes by Hearing. Audio Bibles are key in these unreached areas. It's estimated that in Sudan and South Sudan, the illiteracy rate is somewhere between 40 and 70%, depending on where you are. It's going to be higher in the rural areas and lower in the urban areas, but it's estimated that throughout the unreached where the gospel hasn't been, oral learning and audio Bibles are going to be a key tool in reaching the unreached, as most of these areas are highly uneducated and orality is going to be a necessity in reaching them.
Then I have to remember, oh, it is home. I'm going to pray for you. If I have it, I'm going to pray. And when I remove it like that, everybody will come. Please give me also one. Give me one. Give me one.
So you people just come up to you because they know that you're a Christian.
Yes, people come to my home.
And they're asking for Jesus.
Yes. Okay. They're coming to me asking for Jesus for him, asking for audio Bibles. Then asking for us to come and do it, show them Jesus for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the big challenges that I'm facing as a leader in Francis Church in Noble Mountain, we still lack leaders.
Okay.
We need more leaders.
Okay.
We need to be equipped by knowledge.
Yeah.
We need to support the community, not only spiritually but also physically.
Mm-hmm.
In Sudan, or in Noble Mountains, most people are not working. They're only depending on farming system.
Okay.
And then animal rearing.
Animal rearing.
Yes.
And they have their own animals.
They have animals. Yeah. Some of them have animals, and some of them don't have, and gardens.
Yeah. Okay.
But when you check on development is zero.
Yeah.
You find there's no water to take water.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no schools.
Okay.
There's no health center.
Wow.
There's no proper roads.
Okay.
This is the challenges that we are always facing.
Yeah.
And some of them, they're coming asking for help.
Help in what way?
Asking for something to eat because some of the family cannot even afford.
Yeah.
Because I remember there is a war last year.
Mm-hmm.
That this war caused a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
The war that Peter's referring to here is the Sudanese Civil War. It was officially started on April 15th of 2023, but the dominoes began falling well before that. As already mentioned, there was a coup in 2019 that overthrew Omar al-Bashir. A transitional government was then established. But then again, in October of 2021, there was yet another coup. Two men with military clout joined forces, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, the head of the armed forces, and his deputy, General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, also known as Hemedti. Hemedti leads the Rapid Support Forces, also known as the RSF. Shortly after these two conducted the coup, they disagreed on the role that the RSF would play within the country's military. On April 15th, 2023, shooting broke out in Khartoum. Fast forward 3.5 years, over 150,000 people are dead, 12 million more are displaced, 24 million people are facing high levels of acute food insecurity.
People did not plant,
mm-hmm.
and there is a drought,
yeah.
and there is even locusts came and destroyed all the crops.
Wow.
Where I brought everything down.
Yeah.
Crisis of food.
Yeah, and then there's inflation caused by the war.
Yes, and inflation caused by war.
So the food that is available is too expensive.
It's too expensive.
So if the crops fail, you just go without food.
Exactly. And the people, and they are only looking at us as somebody who is near to the church. They know that you are the people who can help.
Okay.
Now in my community, it is only me has a missionary who is there, and everybody coming to my home. Mm-hmm. There's no one who can help us. It is only this guy who is from the church. What I have, I share with him.
Mm-hmm.
I reach the kitchen sometimes. I run completely, even not single coin in my pocket,
mm-hmm.
or in my home.
Because you've given it
I
all
just
away.
Given all out. Mm-hmm. Somebody's sick, coming. Somebody's hungry, it's coming. So
this is a
very big challenge as a missionary.
And does that provide gospel opportunities for you to share the gospel with them? Are these Muslims coming to you? Are these members of the church? Like, who are these people?
This is both. Member of the church, they need physically support and even spiritually support still.
Okay,
and Muslims who are coming, and this will give me a very great opportunity to come and preach for them. As the church is being blessed because the church is giving out.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you find most church organizations are giving out,
okay.
because the Lord will keep on blessing.
That's good.
Yeah.
So can you tell us stories of individuals who's come to Christ, who you've seen their lives be changed by the gospel?
Yeah, while I was moving, coming from the church, passing by a certain home, I saw three men are sitting under the tree, and when just wake up and come running toward me, mm-hmm. and it's like, hey, wait, stop. I stopped. Then when it came to me, he greeted me. He told me that, I heard about you.
Yeah.
I heard about you, that you have come, you are doing the work of God, but I was looking for you, I did not see you, and I don't know you, but somebody pointed to me that you are the one passing now. So, yeah, I say, yeah, it is me. Mm-hmm. I'm the servant of God. I love God, and I'm a missionary. Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, I really want to be a Christian.
Wow.
I said, I doubt it. I said, no. And why?
Yeah.
And he told me that I want to be a Christian. I don't run Islam.
Okay.
Then I told him, okay, I'm going home. Then I will bring for you audio Bible.
Okay.
You come and listen to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went home immediately. From my place, I went immediately to my home. I brought the audio Bible. I found him still sitting on the tree. When I gave him, I taught him how to use it.
Yeah.
And then the three who are seated there, they also requested the same Bible.
Okay.
And I had it more. I gave them all.
Okay.
And I said to them, I found that they've been taking some alcohol.
Okay, that day.
Yes, that day they've been taking alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Then, when I gave them the Bible and I talked to them, I preached to them, and I prayed. While I was praying, I said, may God bless you.
Yeah.
So, after 1 week, I came and visited him.
Yeah.
And he told me that you can pray for my family.
Pray for his family.
Yes.
Okay.
And I have to pray for the family.
Yeah.
So I told him the next week I will be here. The next week I came. When I came, he gathered many families, like three homes.
Yeah.
He gathered them all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
While I was praying to them, the three families, all of them gave life to Christ.
Wow.
The women's.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me that even these young kids, we are going to go in the church, all of us.
Yeah.
And indeed, they have come all to the church.
Wow.
And this man, he's now the elder of the church.
one that approached you.
Yes, this is the first man, elder in the community, to give life to Christ.
Wow.
Officially.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Officially, without any doubting, without doing anything.
Yeah.
He's the one now, while I was there, I was not around, he's the one taking care of the church, fencing the church, taking care, cleaning the church.
Mm, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another good testimony is about a woman. This woman, she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Was this a woman in your church?
No.
Okay.
Just in the community.
So was she a Christian or a Muslim?
She is a Muslim.
Okay. All right.
So, and this woman was being pregnant by a Muslim, by a Christian guy.
The man was a Christian.
Yes, the man was a Christian.
He was a Muslim.
Okay. Yes, and the woman was Muslim.
Okay.
And it was a problem.
Okay.
It was so great problem in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So the father chased the woman away.
Okay.
From home.
Okay.
And the woman almost gave birth. And he told her, if you do, you die. We don't care.
The husband said that?
The father.
The father.
Yes.
Okay.
Because that somebody who pregnant you is a pagan and you don't want you.
Okay.
All the family.
Father of the mother. The pregnant woman.
Of the pregnant woman.
Okay.
He said that you go and stay where you are. If you give birth, you give birth. If you don't give birth, you die. I don't care.
Okay.
Because you're no longer going to be my daughter.
Okay. So the father's mad at the daughter for allowing herself to be impregnated by a Christian.
By a Christian. Why? Why? Why?
Wow. That's
so.
Okay.
He sent the woman away. And the woman also remained something like 1 week to give birth.
Okay.
So, and here, the boy who pregnant the girl.
Were they married or not married?
They are not married.
Okay.
They were not even married. He told the guy should not come near to that, to the woman.
Yeah.
To leave woman suffer.
Okay.
The auntie for the girl went and saved the girl. somewhere.
Okay.
For 1 week, the girl could just, you know, the pains, she went through pains, sure. The mother's crying, mm-hmm. and the girl is crying. Mm-hmm. There's no one to help.
Wow.
When I heard about it, I have to run.
Mm.
I have to run to the girl. I found the mother is just there seated, and the woman is inside crying.
Wow.
Then I talked to the mother. I told the mother, you just be patient. Everything God will solve it.
Mm.
I know you have abandoned your daughter because he's a Christian who pregnant the girl.
Mm-hmm.
But I will pray for her.
Yeah.
The Lord will interfere.
So you're a Christian.
Yes. Of course, for me, I'm a Christian.
Yeah, but they don't like Christians.
You don't like Christians.
So you're telling them, don't worry, God will take care of it. I'm a Christian, I'll pray for her.
Yeah, exactly. I'll pray for her.
That's very bold.
Yeah, exactly. Then the mother became very happy. She's happy. I don't know why people, you don't like you Christians, because you're doing something good.
And the mother's a Muslim also.
Yes. Okay. We have not seen anything that you have done wrong. And you have seen that all people in the community, you're helping them. Everybody talking about good thing you're doing.
Mm.
But they hate you. They hate you guys. I don't know why.
Yeah.
My daughter has been pregnant by one of your friends. But now the father says her way.
Yeah.
I went inside. I told her. I encouraged her. Then I told her, do you allow me to pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah. Then she's like, it's remained for me only whether tomorrow or today I can deliver. If I don't deliver, maybe I will die.
Wow.
She's crying until she becomes very thin. No one to stand with her, no one to take to the nurse.
Right. And she needs a nurse to give birth to the baby because she's having complications giving birth.
Exactly.
Okay.
Then I told her, okay, I can pray for you. Then she's like, yeah, you keep praying for me.
Mm.
Then I just laid my hand on her stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Then I prayed. What I pray, the woman is really crying, very serious crying.
Mm.
When I say amen, she also said amen.
Mm.
I came out, I told your mother that I will come very early in the morning tomorrow. So when I went home, very early in the morning before I start my journey to come and see the woman,
mm-hmm.
the boy who pregnant the woman
yeah.
came running to me.
Mm-hmm.
The woman gave birth.
Wow.
Then ask him, is a baby boy or is a baby girl? It's like is a baby girl, a baby boy.
A baby boy.
Yes.
Okay.
Then I have to rush.
Okay.
Then I rush to the mother. I found the woman is delivered. She's smiling.
Mm.
She's happy.
Yeah.
Then when I greeted her, she began crying. She's like, since you just prayed for me like this, there's no any pain. There's no any pain completely. I sleep comfortable until almost reached the morning hours. Then I gave birth.
Wow.
Without any complication, without any pain.
Hmm.
Then I asked her, did you give the name to the boy? She's like, no. What about the father? He's like, no. I told him, okay, I'm giving the name. He's like, no problem. I told her that this boy, I'm going to call Emmanuel.
So you named a Muslim woman's baby Emmanuel?
Emmanuel, yes. Then I asked her, do you know what about the name Emmanuel mean? He's like, Emmanuel, yeah, I know it's in the Bible. Then I told her, Emmanuel mean God with us.
Yeah.
She become very happy.
Yeah.
Now, the boy is good. The boy is big now.
Mm.
Yeah. Now everybody calling Emmanuel, 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 Emmanuel.
Yeah.
So now we came and it caused a lot of problem to marry this girl to this man.
Okay.
We finished the marriage.
Yeah.
And then we brought her to the husband.
Okay.
Now she's now comfortable at home with the husband, mm-hmm. and praying together with the husband.
So she's now a Christian.
She's now Christians.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like God is really moving in Nuba.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, as you talk about the lack of medical care, lack of hospitals and clinics, the lack of schools, the lack of clean water, it just really encourages me in what Empower One is doing through the flagship churches, because as we sit here on the compound, we see the church right over here. We see the school over to our right. We have the water tower, the radio station. There's the clinic here. Nuba Mountains needs the church, because here we're meeting the physical, spiritual, and educational needs of the community. And it's just encouraging to see that you're laying a foundation, being a pioneer Christian, to go up there and be faithful and obedient to follow God's calling to your people. I'm excited to see what God does through you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your stories. Thank you for your time. It's always good to see you. You're my friend and my brother.
Thank you.
And I'm excited to follow your story and the story of the church in Nuba. I just encourage the people listening to pray for Peter and the rest of his leaders in Nuba Mountains, that God will continue to call people to himself through the church. Pray for his leaders around him to be strengthened. People who are faithful teachers, you can do it as well.
When Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, he told us to pray for his kingdom to come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom is coming on earth through the church. The church is the foretaste, the intersection of Christ's kingdom inaugurated and the eternal kingdom still to come. We are reminded of this story after story from the ministry in Africa. The church, being the body of Christ, is serving those far from God. And in doing so, their hearts are softened and their eyes are open to know that Christ is their Lord. I hope the Peter story reminds you that Jesus is building his church, and the fulfillment of the Great Commission is sealed in the finished work on the cross. Just a reminder, September is Empower One's month of empowerment. We are praying that God will provide the needed funds to operate NEETS for next year. Will you prayerfully consider joining us in partnership to help us train more leaders like Peter at NEETS? Anyone who signs up to become a recurring monthly partner of any amount during the month of September will receive a free copy of Mike Congo's book, Eating with God's Fork, where he tells his story of how God called him out of the private sector and into church planting in one of the world's most corrupt and war-torn countries. For more information on how you can give or get more involved, visit us at our website at empower-one.org. That's empower-one.org.